All right. Well, as you've already heard, we've read through the vision and the mission statements. We've talked about the Constitution. We've read the covenant. And so these are foundational times in the life of our body. We're in a new beginning, and so we've made all this vision statement. We've made this mission, this covenant, and so we are asking ourselves, well, how are we going to carry this out? All right, it's great to have a vision. It's great. A vision is what we want to accomplish, and that vision is to share Christ with everybody that's within the reach. That's what we're called to do as followers of Christ, as disciples, and as His church. And then we look at the mission, and so how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to love God. We're going to love people. We're going to obey His word. And okay, well, still, those are all good to have. We can put them in our documents and all that. But how do we exercise it? Well, we find the way we exercise it is in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You know it as the Great Commission. And we're looking at the four imperatives that we find in the Great Commission. Last week we looked at go. Today, and we've identified them as share, as baptize, and teach. And you may say, wait, Pastor, we don't see the word share in the Great Commission. But what it says, make disciples. Make disciples. Well, how do we make disciples? The Jesus Christ who said this, He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He can make disciples. We can't make anything. We know that Christ will build His church. We know that God will draw men to Himself. We know the Holy Spirit that dwells inside us, He works through us and through the gifting that He has given us in the places that He has put us. And we know that we are just called to be submissive. We are called to be obedient. And through this, we make disciples when we are obedient to this strategy that God has given us, this Great Commission. And how do we do it? We share. We make disciples by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. What does it mean to share? What does it mean to make a disciple? And let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What an encouraging word. And here, and our first point will be the same as we had last week. And you will see that every point that we have is as we go. Last week we looked at the imperative of go. Of Jesus told us to go. And so this is all as we go. And as we saw last week on our first point, as we go, we are obedient to Jesus Christ. We are obedient to Jesus Christ on your outline. But what does this mean? Well, James 1:22, we just went through the whole book of James over the summer. And what does it say in James 1:22? It says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So here, as we share, as we are obedient, as we are submissive to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we share His good news, we are being doers of the Word. Friends, we cannot, you realize that just coming here and singing the songs, which are all based on Scripture, and listening to a sermon, we have done nothing. We have done nothing until the Word of God has penetrated our heart and began to transform us more like Jesus Christ. We are called to be doers of the Word, not merely hearers, as James says, who delude themselves. I don't want to be deluded. Let's be doers of the Word. Next on your listening outline, it says, as we go, we begin with prayer. So look at Ephesians 6. We've been looking at Ephesians 6 for quite, at least if you've been following the emails that I've been sending out every day with the 52 days of prayer. But Ephesians 6, in the context of the armor of God. 6:18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Here it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. We got to understand that when we're going out to share the gospel, you know, this, and I use this term, and if it offends you, let me know, and I'll try to find something else. But sometimes in church, we want to come together, we want to get the warm fuzzies, shake each other's hands, check the box. We've done our thing as the Christian for the week, and we've come around and we sing Kumbaya, and it's all great and good in the world, and let's go on and live our lives. But folks, it is a battle. We're in a battle. There is good, there is evil, there's a struggle that's in between both of those. And we are called, if we have been called to faith in Jesus Christ, well then we are supposed to go out. The context of this and what we looked at especially last week was the holy armor, the full armor of God. Do you put that on? Do you even consider it each and every day? You put on your pants, you put on your shirt, or you should every day. Some of you that are retired, I guess you can say in your pajamas, or you work from the house, or however that works. But you should. But you, every day, it's a routine thing, and not that we ever want to make the holy armor being routine at all, but we should daily put on the armor and consider Christ. Every morning I pray, Lord, shod my feet with the readiness of your gospel of peace. Gird my loins. And I do, in my prayer time, I kind of walk through it. Gird my loins with your belt of truth. Protect my heart with your breastplate of righteousness. Protect my mind with your helmet of salvation. Provide me with your shield of faith. Protect me from Satan's flaming arrows. And I hit it too. Why? Because the arrows are coming. It never promises that the arrows aren't coming. Sing Kumbaya, come to church every week, and then the arrows aren't going to come. That's not true. The arrows are coming, and they're flying fast. So do you got your shield of faith? Lord, provide me with your holy sword, which is your word, which is your word. Are you ready, church? Every day, are you ready? Because the enemy is. And if you're not, this means nothing. But as we go, we begin in prayer, and we pray with our holy armor. We pray in submission, and we are obedient to His. Not crazy, but passionate. Because we believe. Do you believe what it says? Because we believe and we know it's true, and we know that our time is short. Next, as we see, though, as we go, we share with the next generation. As we go, this sharing, listen to this. This is, so far we have already seen that we're obedient to Jesus Christ, and we begin in prayer, but now this begins the application part of it. What we've talked about so far is what we've done in preparation. But now as we go, we share. Our first responsibility is to share with the next generation. If you will join me, please, in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. It's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Y'all have heard this before. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Listen to this, church. This is where the sharing begins. This is for parents. This is for dads. This is for moms, for single dads, single moms, and grandparents. And for anybody who has any influence, aunts and uncles, who has any influence on the next generation. Says in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Let me say, yes, I can see where parents are supposed to pour down, to share the truth of God with their sons and with their daughters, with their children. But what about aunts and uncles and grandparents? It doesn't really say that. Well, if you really think about grandparents, they're passing it down to their sons, or to their daughters, aunts and uncles. Is there any, it's not normal, Lisa, forgive me for saying that. It is normal. But family, whoever is in your family, the nuclear, traditional family has been under attack. And the truth is, not all of our families look like that. So whatever is family, whoever is in your influence, as a grandfather, as a father, as an uncle, as an aunt, maybe even as a neighbor, whoever is within your influence, we have the responsibility to share the gospel. It should be every part of your life. Every part. It's what we've been created for. You haven't been created for a career. You haven't been, which we need. He knows that. We haven't been created for anything of being significant within yourself. You've been created to glorify God. And now because we've had a fall, now we've been redeemed, and now we have been part of that creation. Our responsibility is to share His grace, to extend it. Let's read, if you will join me. Go back. We're going to go back to the New Testament. We'll spend, I think, the rest of our time there, unless the Holy Spirit leads otherwise. But let's go to Titus. We're going to look at Titus 2. Titus 2, verses 1 through 8. This is for everybody, not just parents. It says, but as for you, that actually this is probably more for our older generation. It says, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Listen to this. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. And listen to this. Teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be dishonored. How are they going to learn this? It says the older women need to teach the younger women. Then likewise, in verse 6, it says, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent, that is Satan, that's the enemy, will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. How are the young men going to do it? Because the older men are going to be pouring their lives into them. We have a responsibility. Whether we are parents, whether we are family, whether we are older women or men, to pour our lives into the next generation. We need the aged. We need the wise to come. Those who have come and gone, because you have the experiences. You know. You have the wisdom. And what a treasure that is. We need some of you who can stand like the Apostle Paul and says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Some of the younger men, some of the younger women, they may have not been in this struggle before. And just you pouring into your life and saying, hey, I've been there before. Let me share what God did for me. Let me share with you a scripture that helped me through this difficult time. We are covenanted together. We're a family. And we are to be pouring the Christ, the Word, into the next generation. If you're retired, what a blessing. You may be retired from work, but never, never be retired from the faith. Never. Being retired, if anything, gives you more opportunity to go and serve, to go and share. And I'm not saying serve like stuff in envelopes at the church, which we do need that every now and again, but I'm talking about living your life for Christ. You have no other encumbrance. Oh, our older believers, what a treasure. What a treasure. Don't take your treasures with you. I encourage you, find somebody that is in your life, that is in your circle, that is in somehow that God has placed on your heart, and partner with them in some way so that you may mentor them. And we can talk about that. Just set up a time of 12 weeks. It doesn't have to be forever. Say, hey, let's meet for 12 weeks. Let's talk about life. Let's pick a Bible book to go through. Or however, it doesn't matter. It's not about the mode or what you do. It's about the conversation and about you pouring your life into them. Our younger generation needs you. please, I encourage you, pour your life into some other people. You bring spiritual experience, spiritual strength, spiritual endurance, and spiritual wisdom to all of us. Oh, you are a source of blessing. I want you to know that. You're a source of blessing. You're not done. You're a source of blessing. Pour it out on somebody. I have to tell you, there's no excuse. There is no excuse. Scripture is clear about how we're supposed to be sharing the good news of what God has done for us. And with that, as we go to our next point, we see as we go, we share the good news. The good news. What is the good news? Well, we know Jesus was bringing the good news. He was bringing also what we call it the gospel. But Jesus was our Savior. But as he lived his life for 3.5 years with his ministry, with his disciples, he was also our example. He taught everywhere. We even mentioned last week how the crowds pressed him to such a point that he had to step into a boat because there was no more room for him on the shore. We should be like that everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, in every aspect of our life should be about Jesus Christ. He spent his everyday teaching. As he went, he was going regardless of how he journeyed. And it just wasn't to the people that were like him or the people that he liked. It was to all races, to all men, to all children. We've seen him with the Samaritan, which there's prejudice. What's a point of that is there was no prejudice with Jesus. There was nothing about anybody that kept him from preaching or teaching the good news. Was all people, all sinners, all races, regardless, if they were breathing air and blood was pumping through their body, and they were human, regardless of their sin, regardless of their background, regardless of how they smelled or looked, he shared the truth. He influenced their lives of all people, and we should be about the same. So how do we share the good news? I've got some methods of with things that we've heard. You've heard of the faith curriculum. There's tracks. We have tracks. There's the Evangel Cube, if you've seen that, and you unfold that, and it's like a cross. There's the Evangel Ball. I used to be in recreation ministry, and we had a ball. It was different colors, a soccer ball, and we could share the gospel with the ball. It works, you know. Color bracelets, dare to share. One of my favorites is questioning evangelism, which really just starts discussions and conversations. But you know, it's not about a method. It's about the message. And the problem is so many of us might know a method, but we don't know the message. Do you know the message? You got to know it. Well, let's face the truth. Most of us just don't. We don't know it. I don't know if we're afraid to defend it. I don't know if it's because of lack of knowledge. I don't know if you're just not buying it. I tell you, if you're not buying it, you're definitely not living it. And this gospel, if you're not living it, folks, you can't proclaim it. So does that make it okay? Well, I just don't know. No, it just makes you disobedient. Makes me disobedient. Makes all of us disobedient when we know that we're supposed to be about something and we're not doing it. Say, if you master the gospel message, then you can attach it to the right method at the right time with the right person with whatever you need. You got to know the gospel. You got to know the gospel. And when you memorize it, when you make it a part of your life, you can apply it to any situation, to any person, wherever you are. If you're not one who normally takes notes, I do want everybody to just look at your notes for just a moment, or at the listening outline that's inside your bulletin. I got some points here, and you're going to fill in the first word of every one of these. And this is kind of neat. It takes Genesis 1 all the way through Revelation. And listen to this here. This will help you share the good news. The first word there is God. God created us to be with Him. We see that in Genesis 1 and 2. Our sins separate us from God. We see that in Genesis 3. Then through most of the Old Testament, sin cannot be removed by good deeds. So if you're following along, you have God, our, O-U-R, sin. And then next one is paying. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. So the word is pain. The fifth one. Everyone. Everyone's the word. Everyone who trusts in Him alone has eternal life. See that in the book of John. And then through the Acts and Revelation, it sums it up. Life with Jesus Christ. The word is life. Life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Now, if you've filled those out, do me a favor and look at the first letter of every word that you just wrote. Kind of circle it. What does that spell? That's the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the basics of the gospel. Now, I wish I could say that I came up with that. I didn't. But this is the basics. We got to know it. We can't go if we don't know. You can't share if you don't know what you're sharing. And how can you live it if you don't know it? So how do we, what's the best method? That depends on your personality. That depends on the situation. That depends on the person you're talking with. But I tell you, the best message, the best, whatever way you do it, whether it's just straight out through a trap, whatever method you choose that works for you, it's got to be the gospel. You got to memorize it, you got to personalize it, then you got to contextualize it. And whatever situation you are in, it's got to be the gospel. It fits everyone. It's good news for everybody. Now, I've mentioned some things, and I mentioned the evangel ball and all that, the faith, the tracts, and some of you might, well, that just doesn't work. And I just want to remind you, listen, I don't mean this, D.L. Moody said it. I liked it for those believers who are cynical about evangelism altogether. But Moody said, I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it. I like my way better than your way of not doing it. You might say, well, Lonnie, the gospel is, you know, sharing the gospel. That's for preachers, for theologians, for Bible scholars, and for them to figure that out. All I know is I'm going to heaven and I'm secure. Folks, it's not the scripture. It is, the gospel is important for us all to know. Number one, how can you call yourself a Christian? How can you call yourself a Christian if you don't know the gospel? Because it is the gospel that saves you. It's the gospel that calls you out of the darkness of hell and brings you into the light of life. If you don't know the gospel, then how can you even proclaim that you're a disciple of Christ? How can you proclaim being a Christian when you don't even know the gospel? Well, Lonnie, I do know the gospel. I do. Then why aren't you sharing it? If we know it, why aren't we sharing it? Jesus told us. We just read the Great Commission. We see it, the Great Commission again in every gospel book. But in Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you say, well, there's that word preach. Well, we talked about last word. This is the word caruso. It means just to be a herald. It means to proclaim. The word is preaching, but it's not just for pastors. It's for anybody who is a follower of Jesus Christ. This is addressed to everybody. I tell you, we cannot be disengaged or disinterested in this subject because it has eternal ramifications. Your life, and you live in a life that is full of Christ, and you share in the good news, it sets ripples into all of our culture throughout the globe. You never know that person that you share Christ with. Now, we won't always, when we share Christ, to have everybody get saved. Unfortunately, that just doesn't happen. Sometimes it's just a seed, and we know that if we put a seed in the ground today, that it's going to take some time before it sprouts. Sometimes that is it. Sometimes we are the first person that comes to plant. Sometimes folks might just tell you to stick it in your ear. And it will happen. If you're faithful with the gospel, it'll happen. They'll say, you're a Bible thumper, you're whatever. And Christ says, hey, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. But we've been told to be found faithful. It's not against you. Don't take it personally. You just share the good news of Christ. You cannot be disengaged or disinterested in this. Well, Lonnie, I'm afraid. I'm not good at that. Well, we'll talk about that later. Next we see, as we go, we share our testimony. If you want, you can put story. If you don't know how to spell testimony, I would write story. as we go, we share our testimony. Our testimony is just the story of what Christ has done for us. It's our story. There was a gentleman that I used to work with over at Olive, and he was our missions pastor, and he came up with this thing. He called it Lentis, and some of you may have heard of it, but it's spelled Lyntis. It's an acronym for Love Your Neighbor, Share Your Story. We've agreed in our covenant, we've agreed in our words, we've agreed in everything that we are about as a church, that we are to love our neighbor. I tell you, if you love your neighbor, regardless of who that is, in your workplace, your neighborhood, your family, the one you're sitting to now, share your story with them. Share your testimony, what God has done for you. They may want to argue about Scripture, they may want to argue about theological things, but I tell you what, they can't argue about what Christ has done for you. They can't argue what Christ has done for you. Let's look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12. We'll look at verses 10 through 12. Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. The context here is a vision, and it's talking about a male child. It's talking about the angel, about a woman, and often some people think it's Christ and Mary, and in some places of that does fit, but this woman that it's talking about here is the church. It's the church. It's us. And why would a woman be called? Because we are the what of Christ? The bride. And so it's talking about the bride of Christ. And listen, so there's this huge battle going on here. And it says, and they, talking about the bride of Christ, the woman, us, the church, you, me. It says in verse 11, and they overcame him. And I say verse 10, let's start in verse 10, I'm sorry. In verse 10, we're going to read through verse 12. And it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, that is Satan himself, has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they being the woman, the church, you and me, overcame him because of, we're so awesome, right? No, because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ on the cross, dying for our sins. They defeated Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their what, church? Of their testimony of what Christ has done for you because of the good news and how it's changed your life. And they did not love their life even when they were faced with death. It says, for this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time. But guess what? If he only has a short time, we only have a short time. Friend, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed anything. Who is that person that's on your heart that you know who needs to hear the good news? Think about that person. Just right now, let's just take a second. Who is that person in your life that needs to hear the good news? Are they here? If you're dependent on your preacher and this pulpit and this Sunday morning service for that person to hear the good news, guess what? They're not coming. They're not coming. Never, never, never in Scripture does it say, go and build a church so the people can come and then you can and they can all gather in one place and the preacher can proclaim the gospel. No, it tells us Christians, all of us, to go, go, go and make disciples. We're talking about that today by sharing the good news. That person that came in your mind, I don't know, and he's probably not in my sphere of influence at all, but he's in yours, or she's in yours. You have the responsibility to share the gospel with that person. And now, because they've been a mental note in your mind and heart, if you don't, you're going to be disobedient. I'm sorry to put that on you. Share the gospel with somebody. Share the gospel with somebody. Last week, we looked at Romans 8. Guys, I gave you Romans 10, not Romans 8, it was verses 8 through 15, but Romans 10. Let's look at that again. But I gave you all 8, let's just look at 13 through 15. Look at Romans 8. I keep saying Romans 8, please forgive me, Romans 10. Romans 10. Looking at Romans 10, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 15. It says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And again, that's without a herald, without a disciple of Christ who will proclaim it. How will they preach or proclaim unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Family, friends, guests, if you're a follower of Christ, is your feet carrying the good news? Are you carrying the good news of Jesus Christ to all the people that were within the sphere of your influence? Young or old, poor, rich, ugly, not ugly, whatever, it doesn't matter. Bring the good news, proclaim, we're called to do it. We looked at the words last week, and I was going to try to say one, but pretty much the good news. We are to proclaim the good news, to announce glad tidings. It's, you get that? It's good news. We get so nervous about sharing it. But it's good news. It's the only good news. We'll tell everybody about everything else, about your baby, about your grandkids, about your new job, about your new car, about your new house, about everything, about the... You tell everything about that, that you see is good. What is it? Do we just not see that the gospel is good news? Do you not think what Christ has done for you is good news? Friends, family, yes, share your testimony. We have no excuse. Next we see, though, as we go, we share through our lifestyle. We share through our lifestyle. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 8. Ephesians 5, 8. Ephesians 5, 8. Paul writes to us, it says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. If you have been changed, if you have heard the good news, if you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord, it's saying that you are no longer in darkness, but now you are in light, and you should live a life that reflects it. When we share through our lifestyle. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. Lonnie, I like my lifestyle. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's no longer our life. And then let's join me, if you will, in John 15. We're going to look at chapter 12. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 17. So we're in John 15. And if you're looking in your Bible and it's the red letter edition, you see these are all the words of Christ. We're going to read 12 through 17. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. I think that's a song, isn't it? Just as I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends for all things I have heard from my Father and I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. I tell you, the next generation, those that are listening to the good news, those that are within your sphere of influence, that are in your lives, you sharing your testimony is meaningless if you are not living a life that is changed. They do not care about what you're saying if your lifestyle does not align with your words. I tell you, I took a preaching class a while back, and before we even got to talking about what it meant to expositionally do exegesis in the Word and all that kind of stuff. We talked about our pathos, our ethos, and our logos. And what that means is our passion. What are you passionate about? Well, if it's Jesus Christ, your lifestyle is going to show it. If it's something else, hot rods or shopping or, I was about to say Barbie dolls, but yeah, we got all generations here. Whatever it is, you can tell I raised four girls. Whatever you're passionate about, your lifestyle is going to reflect it. So are you all about golf? Are you all about whatever, fishing or whatever? Or are you about Christ? Not saying you can't golf, fish, shop, do all that kind of stuff. But no, it's about if you're while you go, if you are passionate about Jesus Christ, it's going to be a part of everything you do. And it's going to be a part of your lifestyle. What about your ethos? Your ethos refers to your character. How do you act? How do you act when nobody's looking? How do you act when you're not at church? What do you watch when you're the only one around? What are you doing in your lifestyle, private and public? Does it honor the Lord? He sees you. Then it gets to your logos, and your logos is your word. I tell you, if your passion and your character do not line up with your word, your message is meaningless. It's meaningless. How do you live your life? The gospel, you share first through your lifestyle. So if your lifestyle doesn't line up with Christ, number one, it's not loving. And as rude as this may sound, I would prefer you not to share the gospel if you do not live like a Christian. As a matter of fact, if your life is not reflective of a follower of Christ, don't even tell them you're a part of this fellowship. Why? Because it's called hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is the number one thing that is destroying the church in our culture. As we go, as we just read in John 15, 12 through 17, we share through our love. We just finished it here. It says, "This I command you, that you love one another." They will know us by our love. And we see that in so many other places in Scripture. They will know us by our love. How are you loving on folks? How are you meeting people's needs? How are you there for them? I tell you, all of you live in unique circumstances. Not one life here is the same as everybody else's. We all have a sphere of influence. How are you being a disciple as you live in those circumstances? How are you sharing Christ as you go? Only you can do what you can do. Last week we talked about as we go with the things that we ask people as we're serving in our unique strengths and our unique calling and our unique giftedness and our unique places. We said the main question as we share with folks that we're asking, will you believe? Will you believe? This is my story. Will you believe? But in this stage, as we're sharing the gospel and people come to the point of belief, we're asking, will you follow? Because, you know, it's not enough to just believe that Jesus existed. I mean, when we studied James a couple weeks ago, it's in James 2, 19 through 20, tells us that even the demons believe and shudder. They're not going to heaven. They know Jesus is real. That's why they're fighting against him. And then it goes in verse 20, it talks about faith without works. If you have faith and your life is not reflecting it in some way, folks, it's saying that your faith is meaningless. It's not enough to just believe, but will you follow? Will you commit? As we look in, and we could have read a little further back in when we were in Romans 10, in verses 9 and 10 specifically, it says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, then you will be saved, essentially, is what it's saying. But when it's this confession, it's not just to say, hey, yeah, I believe that Jesus, he existed and I confess that. No, it's about you believe in your heart that he existed and he did all the things that he said that he did. You believe in the gospel and then you confess it. It's not just a spoken sentence. It is you believe it and your word also reflects your actions. It's not enough just to speak it. We've just talked about that. What you speak, though, is what you are. It's what you do. But when you believe, and then when you follow, you have come to full submission of Jesus Christ as your Lord. When you repent, or when you turn from your way of life, and you begin to follow Jesus, there is transformation, which that's just a big word that means there's major change. We cannot live as we once did because we are no longer the people that we used to be. Is your life reflecting that? We can no longer live the way we once did because our life through Jesus Christ is no longer the way it used to be. Or we are no longer the people that we used to be. This is because somebody at somehow, some form, some way, somehow the gospel reached you. Whether it was in a church service similar to this one, whether it was a grandmother, a parent, a grandfather, a friend, on the radio, on the TV, you in a lonely place reading through Scripture, God shaking your world and revealing Himself to you. However your experience is, somehow the gospel got to you. Somebody obediently shared it at some time in your life, and now it is up to us to go and do the same. Somebody is counting on you. Somebody's life, somebody's eternal life is counting on your obedience. Well, how do we share? How do we do this? Well, we know the last two points. We talked about those last week. They're the same ones. As we share, we go in Christ's authority. We see it in verse 18. Guess what? Eternal life doesn't count on you. It counts on the Lord, His authority, with the change that He has done in our life and how He works through us. So we do it through Christ's authority. And the next point we see, which comes out of verse 20 of Matthew 28, is that as we share, we go with Jesus Christ. As we just read, He said, "And lo, I am with you until the end of the age." And you can have courage in that, because I promise you, you most likely are going to be nervous. You are going to be nervous about sharing the gospel. You're going to be worried about messing it up. But I tell you what, you will mess it up. But God is with you. Christ is with you, and He is working through you, and it's by His authority and His will that people come to know Him. All we have to do is be obedient and submissive to who He has called us to be. It's a fact we are thankful for. As Rhonda and Felicia are coming up, I'm going to close with Romans 1. You can go back to Romans. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. I just want you to reflect on this. Felicia's going to play silently for just a moment, the time of reflection. And then after that, Ken, our deacon of the week, will pray for us, and then we'll sing and go about sharing the gospel. I just want you to reflect on this for just a few moments. Romans 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That means everybody who is not a Jew. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Friend, are you ashamed of the gospel? I invite you just to confess that to the Lord. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to say it to me. God knows. Are you ashamed of the gospel, or is it that you just don't know the gospel? And if you don't know the gospel, I encourage you to learn it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's right there. The New Testament, all through it. Or come, we can learn together. We'll do whatever. What keeps you, what hinders you from sharing the gospel? Maybe the gospel hasn't changed your life yet. I encourage you. Have you heard it? Is your heart beating out of your chest? Don't leave here today without talking to me. I'm going to be here during this time of reflection. And then when Ken prays and we sing, I'm going to go over there. I'm available to all who would like to talk today. Don't leave today if the gospel hasn't changed your life. With that, let's reflect. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone.